All right. Praise the good Lord. I believe this is the last day of January. I believe today is January the 31st, the Lord's Day. And I'm glad I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
Glad I'm in the house of God.
Yes.
I'm telling you, glad I'm in the family of God. I can't think of a better place to be than in a good Bible believing fundamental church.
Yes.
It don't have to be as big as a barn. I mean, just a few is a big church in the eyes of God. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in His name, He said, lo, I'm in the midst. We just got a heads up from Sister Miranda, and I saw a lot of prayer requests on a Facebook thing there. I'm not very smart, but I can read what people post. And we want to go to God in prayer over this lesson and over the people, Miranda and a little baby, and Wayne Tibbs, and there's some others. I may not get the names right. Sister Joanne, just to name a few. We want to go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for the privilege.
Yes, thank You, Lord.
Lord, to be able to come to the throne of grace, to be able to make our petitions known. Lord, we thank You, Father, that an entrance was made at Calvary, that where the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, making the way into the Holy of Holies through the sacrifice of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're thankful, Father, have an entrance, Lord, to Your throne. I pray You forgive me my sins. I pray for Your blessings upon our efforts here today. Lord, help Sister Miranda. Lord, You're the Lord God that healeth us. Help my brother back there, Brother Ed. Lord, he wants to be able to see.
Yeah.
Lord, You're the one that formed the eye.
Amen.
You're the one that made us, not we ourselves. Lord, You give us everything that we have need of in this life, and Your riches and glory. I pray, dear Father, for Sister Joanne. Lord, she's having trouble breathing. And Lord, You gave the very first breath of life.
Yeah.
You breathed into the nostrils of Adam.
Yeah.
He became a living soul.
Yeah.
And I pray You'll help my sister, Lord. I know You can, and I pray You will. I pray for that little baby, Lord. I don't remember exactly his name. Seemed like it was Notch or something like that. But I pray for that little baby, Lord, got COVID. His mother's got COVID. And Lord, we know You're bigger than these requests, Father, but want to bring them to You in humble faith.
Yes.
Ask You to heal this little boy. Ask You to heal his mother. Lord, I pray for Wayne Tibbs. They said he'd been diagnosed with cancer. Lord, I know You're the Lord God that healeth us. I pray You'll heal him. Lord, for Your praise and glory, we pray You will. And Lord, there's multitude of others, Father, that Lord, we couldn't name right now, Father, for that many. But Lord, we want to remember each and every one of them. Some of the people I work with, some people, Lord, I go to church with, people in my own family. Lord, we'll bring them all to You, Father, and ask You, Lord, to grant their request. Grant, Lord, their needs. Lord, I pray You do it in such a way they know it was a hand of God that done it. And Lord, for all these favors, we ask in Jesus' name, giving You praise and glory. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to say this to Sister Miranda. Before she does have the surgery, I had a problem with my shoulder. I fell. I couldn't raise my arm up. It took a while, but hey, look here. I remember that's about as far as I could get right there. And I never did consider surgery. I'm too stubborn for that. But I will tell you this. It took a little while and I couldn't sleep on it just like she said. And it hurt just like she said. But look at her. Matter of fact, look at her. Give it a little time. All you're going to do is go pay a bunch of money for something. All he's going to do is make you take a little time. But anyway, you do whatever you feel you need to do with me. I'm just going to wait it out. Maybe one of these days I'll let somebody take a knife to me. But I don't think it'll ever happen. I don't want to eat my words. I'm like Donnie. I want to be careful what I say.
Amen, brother.
We was talking on the way up. He said, I don't want to be rash with my words. Because he said, I'm afraid God will make me eat them. And I agree with that statement there. You do need to be careful what comes out of your mouth. Because one of the verses in the Bible, it talked about Mary and she was blaming Moses. And the Bible said, and the Lord heard it. He came down. He wasn't happy.
Yeah,
smote her with leprosy. And she ended up paying for what she said to the face of Moses, her brother. Well, we're going to go to our Sunday school lesson this morning. I really enjoy it so far, teaching in Revelations, and it's been very popular on the internet. A lot of people are interested in this book. It's a tough book to teach from. I don't think no one can teach from it the same, because it's yet to be. Most of this stuff we're teaching on here is coming, but it ain't got here yet. So we're teaching somewhat out of speculation, and we're teaching somewhat out of comparing Scripture with Scripture and spiritual with spiritual. Our first verse here is Revelation chapter 4 for today. John, here's the one doing the writing. And he said, after this. Now, when he says after this, I want to read the last three verses of Revelation chapter 3. The Lord here doing the speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now John has just addressed what the Lord told him to say to seven churches. And after that he says, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now last Sunday, I wanted to put that emphasis on the hereafter. So what we're going to be reading from here on is hereafter. And it's yet to be. So we're going into some new grounds, what I'm trying to say. All that we've read up to right now is somewhat present tense. This here's future. And this hereafter teaching we're going to be teaching from this verse on is some things that are yet to be. When the Lord said, come up hither, first thing came to my mind was Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. The Bible said Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him in Genesis chapter 5 verse 24. And Enoch got took up into heaven. And the Bible mentions also about Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11. Talks about him being translated. And I did try to look up in the Bible to get something to go on the word translation. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. But when I went to the dictionary and looked at it, it's talking about like translating something from English to Greek or something. You know, it was using like language. But Enoch, he came up hither. By faith, he left this earth and went up to be with God in heaven. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, you got a man named Elijah. And he's down here. And he's been told, you know, that he's going to leave out. And he had Elisha with him. And Elisha's following pretty close to Elijah because he had asked for a double portion of what Elijah had. And Elijah told Elisha, he said in verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 2, well, I'll tell you what, just for the sake of it, let's read verse 8. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken up from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And verse 11, and it came to pass as they went on, it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the brook of Jordan. Now they crossed over Jordan, going to this place where Elijah was taken up. Verse 14, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now, there's already two people we've mentioned that not only saw heaven open up, but went up into it. In Acts chapter 7, we got Stephen here. He's being stoned for preaching the truth. A lot of people, they just want you to tickle their ear. They don't want truth. But now, I mean, he gave them truth. I mean, gun barrel straight.
Right.
And in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, and let's read verse 54. When he heard these things, talking about his message, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he, kneeling down, and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. There's three. Yeah. The young man that they laid the clothes at his feet in Acts chapter 14, he got stoned. Acts 14 verse 19. And there came further certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul. Now, Paul was Saul at the stoning of Stephen, and they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he arose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas unto Derbe. And let's see here. And when they preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again. Now, I said, this is Saul that's now Paul. I think this is what he's relating to in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. A lot of scripture this morning, but that's good. Like I said, we're going to compare scripture with scripture.
Right.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is Paul, and he said, it's not expedient, verse 1, for me doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now John, the book he wrote is called the Revelation. Well, Paul here says that he is coming to visions and revelations of the Lord. And then he tells about an experience. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in body, I cannot tell, or whether not of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
The thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Paul got caught up in the paradise. Verse number 4 says, and he heard unspeakable words which it's not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet not of myself will I glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And Paul here says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, John got the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul got revelations also from the Lord. And he said, through the abundance of the revelations, things that was revealed to him, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Not only did Enoch get caught up, Elijah got caught up, Stephen got caught up, Paul got caught up, but we go back to Jesus in Acts chapter number 1, and not only did he get caught up, but they watched him going up.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 1, Jesus, starting in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, they beheld he was taken up, or while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven from you? I'm sorry, taken up to heaven. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. So as John here gets talking about getting caught up, I just want you to know that he's not alone.
That's right.
And he said, after this, all the revelations about the seven churches, after this, John says, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard were as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And look at verse 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. John's talking about seeing a door open, talking about being in the Spirit, talking about getting caught up into heaven. And he says the first thing he saw was a throne. The Bible talks about, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, I'm glad I've already been judged. I was as guilty could be.
Yeah, right.
But even with that, you're still, all of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And what we're going to be judged for is our motive, why we done what we done. In other words, was I trying to exalt Eddie Wade or was I trying to exalt Jesus Christ? If I was trying to exalt Eddie Wade, I'll get my reward right here.
Yeah,
sure. It'll go up wood, hay, and stubble, go up like a puff of smoke.
Hey.
But if I'm trying to exalt Jesus, when I get to heaven, not only am I going to be before the judgment seat of Christ, but I'm going to be rewarded for putting glory on Him, for putting the emphasis on Him, and trying to brag on my Lord and Savior. I was telling Brother Donnie this morning when he was coming to church, I said, I've got a bad habit of saying, Lordy. And I do it a lot. Lordy, Lordy. I don't want to do that. I want to just say, praise God, or Lord, holy, anything but Lordy. I'm trying to break myself of that habit. And you know, that motive is pure. It's right that I don't want to take the name of God in vain, that I don't want to take it in any way that I wouldn't be of glory and honor. And I don't like it saying, Lordy. And I'm working on trying to say, Lord God Almighty, or praise God, or anything but that.
Yeah.
But John here, he gets called up, Brother Ed, first thing he sees is a throne.
Well, amen.
And that's the first thing we'll see.
Yeah,
right. Let me see if I can find it.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, like I said, I done pleaded my case. I pleaded guilty. Yeah. Got my case thrown down the court. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad that you know, as far as judging go, I done been judged. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And John, the first thing he sees a door open, and he hears a voice, and he hears that voice say, come up hither, and he gets caught up into heaven, and the first thing coming into heaven is a throne. And some people, that's probably not going to be a pleasant experience or event, because all they've done down here was draw attention to themselves, and maybe took advantage of the church position or prestige or whatever. Maybe they had too many peacock feathers. I don't know. I'm just glad I ain't got any. Amen. Hey, I've never been trying to make no reputation. Jesus Himself, the Bible said, made no reputation of Himself. But He took on the form of a servant and was obedient even to the death of the cross. And the best thing you can do is have a servant's heart and not exalt yourself above measure, not get too high, not get too mighty, but stay meek and lowly. Hey, listen, for the love of God, that if the devil did squeeze you, all would come out would be love towards your brother and toward the one that died for you. If you just follow the love of God, it'd be good. Amen.
Amen.
You'll be an ornament of praise.
Yes.
But there'll be a lot, Brother Ed, and it probably won't be a pleasant experience. Now, we're going to heaven by the grace of God.
Yeah.
But that entrance, you got to go by the throne.
Amen.
John here, he said, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. It wasn't an empty throne. There was someone sitting there. Verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So much for the rainbow coalition. Hallelujah. I like the color of this rainbow a whole lot better. Amen.
Amen.
They kind of made a mockery of a sign that God gave Jonah, a covenant that he would not destroy the world anymore by water. And he put that bow in the sky and he said, when I see it, I'll remember my covenant that I won't destroy the world anymore by water.
Right.
However, this second destruction of the world is going to be by fire. They'd probably rather have the water as to have the fire. And the first time that the water fell was in Noah's day. And when the fire fell, it was in Lot's day. But the fire is going to fall again. Because God made that covenant. And you can find when the fire is going to fall in 2 Peter chapter 3. And on this for sake of time, I'm going to start verse 10. You got a bunch of mockers up here in chapter 3. Then you got the long suffering of God that's waiting. Then you got the Word of God which is holding everything. It says the heaven and the earth, verse 7, which are now by the same Word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You got wickedness right now. It just seems like they're taking over everything there is to take over.
Yeah.
Grieves me to see the extent of the wickedness being promoted today. Mm-hmm. And verse 9 talks about the long suffering of God towards us, that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They're all not going to. They all should, but they're not all going to.
Right.
But verse 10, it's not playing no game. It says, but the day of the Lord will come.
Mm-hmm.
He came one time already as a babe in a manger. He's not coming this time as a babe in a manger. This time he's coming, got fire in his eye.
Amen.
And now he's going to come as a thief in the night, and he's going to take us out.
Yeah.
And after he takes us out, then the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth, you know, he's Jehovah's Witness talking about wanting to live forever on this earth. I told the one I work with, I said, help yourself, buddy. I said, you better get you some fireproof underwear. I'm telling you, you better get you the best of money and a good fire suit. I said, it'll live a little longer. But it says that the earth and the heavens, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There's nothing going to escape this fire. Nothing. I mean, I don't care if you got a silo and you dug it down 1,000 feet. You're going to be pretty close, I guess, to hell if you went that far anyway. But you're going to have fire below you and fire above you. And no matter where you get, you're going to get cooked either way. There's not going to be no escape. It says, seeing then, verse 11, that all, and it'd surprise you how much money's been spent trying to find a place of refuge from this apocalypse that's coming. I seen two scientists the other day, and they had a clock there on the wall there, and they was talking about how much time till the apocalypse, and it was between the 11th and the 12th on the big hand. That's how close scientists think the apocalypse is upon us. I'm glad I'm ready, amen. But seeing them, that all these things shall be dissolved. In other words, there ain't going to be no earth. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, and that's me, according to His promise and all His promises, oh yea and amen, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And this scripture here talks about a rainbow, and it's an emerald, a greenish color rainbow. And the one that sat on the throne, he's beautiful to look upon. And kind of like a halo, there's a rainbow round about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald, like a green emerald, beautiful. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So here's 24 people round about the throne, And they've got thrones, and they're clothed with white raiment, and they got crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings. Mind you, the Wizard of Oz. And voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, this is where it's going to get a little muddy, because we haven't been here. We're talking about things that John is seeing. John's writing them down. We've got his account of it, and it's not crystal clear, but it's clear enough that we can gather what we're reading here. And he says that I see round about the throne, he said, I see seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. In verse 6, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. You know, one thing about heaven, won't be no pollution down there. And, you know, me and Donnie, we go down to Lake Bottom, hunt Indian airheads, don't tell nobody. But we go down there and you can just see, I mean, beer bottles and beer cans. And you can see all kind of stuff they've thrown out and polluted the lake. And you know, the lake gets full and you can't see it, but it's there. When the water goes down, you can see old car tires and just all kinds of junk. Can't even name concrete blocks and everything else they throw down there in the lake. But up in heaven, they're up in heaven, there's a sea of glass like unto crystal.
Yeah.
And the crystal is just clear. I mean, it's beautiful. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And like I said, we're getting in what I call a little bit muddy right here, because none of us have ever seen anything like what John is describing here. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Mind you, a totem pole. Indians used to carve totem poles, and they'd have like an eagle, and they'd have, you know, maybe a bear or wolf or something. But this here is symbolic. You got a lion, you got a calf, you got a man's face, and you got a flying eagle. And verse 8, and these four beasts, each of them had six wings round about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Three different distinctions right there. And you know, the Lord, He kind of made that same distinction in Revelation chapter number 1. He said, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death, of hell and death. Well, you got that distinction made again right here. These beasts are crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And let me say something about that last statement. He was here.
That's right.
He left footprints on the water, Caleb.
Yeah.
Only one to ever do it.
Amen.
I walked on the water for him, but it's froze.
Yeah.
He walked on the water and stilled the waves.
Amen.
He was here. They're trying to dismiss that. They're trying to somehow erase history, and they're trying to somehow say that Jesus Christ never was here. Only problem they got is there's such a great cloud of witnesses. I mean, there's just so many that not only declare that He was here, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty while He was here. And as they dismiss that, what they're digging over there in Israel, and they're just digging up all kind of evidence that says, you know, that he was there just like the Bible said he was. So there's just so much evidence that they can't dismiss it all.
That's right.
One reason I know he's here is because he lives right here in my heart. Amen.
Amen.
I remember the day he took his rightful place on the throne of my heart. He's been living there ever since. I mean, this year, it'll be 33 years that he's been right here. Amen.
Amen.
I remember that boy that I had, Jerry, before he made this man whole.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, praise God, I don't have no void no more.
Amen.
And you know, the world, they don't like to retain him in the knowledge. They don't like to regard that he was here, and yet this said that he was, and he was here, and that he is, and he's, you know, the Muslims, Carolyn, they say, oh man, we've got the boasting's an empty grave. I mean, I can't really understand how they can be that dumb. They said, oh man, we've got the boast of is an empty grave. Now, Muhammad's still in his grave. They think that's a good thing, Brother Ed, that Muhammad's in his grave. I think it's a good thing that our God was God enough that he got up out of the grave.
Amen.
And he told them angels, said, go in there and take a look. He's not here, he's risen. And they went in there and took a look, and they went out and reported he ain't there. He's risen. And if that wasn't enough, well, then he come and showed himself and said, feel the nail prints, run your hand in my side, and know that I am he. I mean, he didn't leave it up to chance. He showed them evidence that they said they was eyewitnesses of him, the resurrected Lord.
Yes.
He appeared not only to the 12, he appeared to 500 at one time. And last of all, Paul said, he even appeared unto me. And he said, as one born at a time. But he's coming. When it says, and is to come, I've got a watch on my hand. I'd give anything if this watch had a place on there where he could set the time that he's coming back.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what a difference it'd make in the preaching, Carolyn? If I knew he's coming back tonight?
Amen.
Oh, would we go into overtime or what? I tried to stay out of the way, I guess. If I told y'all the Lord's coming back tonight, this place would probably be like a powder keg anyway. And there'd be people, I mean, trying to get the last minute in there, you know, trying to catch up. Or where they kind of got behind a little bit. Woo! I love the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, woo! I'm glad. Praise God, he's coming. I'm looking forward to meeting him. But I mean, we'd be doing a lot of catch up.
Yeah, that's right.
We just don't know when he's coming.
That's right.
But that word said he is to come. He's coming.
Yes, he is. Yes.
I'll give anything to have a watch. You know, science, so-called science, if they could do anything, and they think they can, if they could do anything, if they could put down a watch or a time, that we would know the Lord's coming. Better be careful about that kind of disclosure, because it'd probably be the wrong one. But he's coming back. In verse 9, it said, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat upon the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the Lord, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now this is the last verse of Revelation chapter 4. Now you got beasts here, and they're worshiping him, and they're praising him, and they don't end. I mean, it says night and day, but it's forever and ever. They're worshiping. Here, look at verse 8. They cry, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And as they're praising him and giving honor to him, and as they're giving thanks to him that sits on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, these 24 elders, they can't hold back no longer, Brother Ed. They just fall down right there before him that sits on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their throne cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now did you notice? They cast their crowns down His feet. Now look over here in Revelation chapter 19. We're not getting ahead. I just want to put a little emphasis on that.
Yeah.
Now, in Revelation chapter 19, starting about verse number 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head, this is why I wouldn't turn there, and on his head were many crowns. I don't know if he's got their crowns on his crown, or if he's just been honored because he is so worthy of any honor that can be given. But I did notice that on his head there's many crowns.
Yeah.
And they cast their crowns down at his feet, Brother Ed. I don't have anything fit to give a king. I don't.
No, me either.
And you know, I want to give him something.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give me something when I get there.
Yes, Lord.
That I'm not worthy of, not fit to have. But I can just in my mind kind of picture it, Carolyn. He's going to come up there and he say, you've been faithful in a few things. And before he sits there and down to the joy of the Lord, he's going to put a crown on my head. And like I said, I don't have anything fit to give a king. And kind of like that little drummer boy didn't have nothing. He said, I'll play my drums for you. Well, he's going to give me something that's going to be fit to give a king. Now, you're going to be able to tell the Baptist preachers from the Church of God preachers, because the Church of God preachers are going to keep the crown. But the Baptist preacher is going to cast the crowns down at the feet of him that sits on the throne. Yeah. And he's going to come, and on his head is going to be many crowns. Yeah. And the TV evangelists, I probably shouldn't have said that, Church of God. The TV evangelists, they're going to keep their crown. They're going to try to get somebody else's crown to get. They're so greedy if they're in him saved, making heaven. Well, anyway, that crown is something that he's going to give me that's going to be fit to give a king. And he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So, Brother Donnie, I'm going to take my crown off because I'm not going to be worthy to have it anyway.
Right.
And I'm going to throw it down at his feet.
Amen.
And the best I can tell, now this may not be true, best I can tell, he's going to put it up on his head, because on his head, Brother Ed, is going to be many crowns.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, that may not be necessarily true. That's why I'm talking about Revelations. It's kind of a book that's kind of muddy. It's not crystal clear. You have to draw conclusions, some speculation. We can go all through this Bible and find all kinds of scripture to go with what we're talking about here. But in verse 11, this is the greatest worship ever. Verse 11, they throw their crowns down before him that sits upon the throne, and they said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now you notice they're giving honor to the Creator. Let's look here, John chapter 1. St. John chapter 1, that is. I'm going to read 14 verses here, because if I don't, you're going to get mixed up who it's talking about.
Yeah.
So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He's not that light, talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now notice this next verse. This is a key verse. He said he was in the world, talking about Jesus, and the world was made by him, talking about Jesus, and the world knew him not. Good morning, Sister Rita. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So let's cut that middle part out. Which were born of God. I've been born of God. I've been born again. Amen. Verse 14 is why I wanted to read down to verse 14. And the Word, talking about verse 1 of John 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you'll notice, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1. Again, I want to brag on my Creator this morning. You know, a lot of people, they can't see what they need to see concerning Jesus. That rich young ruler that come running to Jesus, he wanted eternal life, but he just missed the most important part about receiving eternal life. He couldn't see no more than a good master. And if he couldn't see Jesus as God, he couldn't get what he was seeking. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Can't even have a world. Landon, buddy, I'm proud of you. You not only fixed my little recorder, but you fixed it good, buddy. It's working like a charm. I'm trying to put this piece in front of my recorder. He said, let me try it, Brother Ed. He put that piece right in there. Good job, buddy. I'm telling you right now, when you need help, back there is a man to see.
Well, amen.
I didn't have enough eyes to find it. I found it finally on the floor, and I didn't have enough eyes to get it where it went in there and landed. He said, let me see that, Brother Eddie. He fixed that thing. I mean, fixed it. Good. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. But you can't even have a planet without the Lord. He holds everything together. Without Him, everything would fly apart. And it does seem like they're trying to have a life without Him. And as you can tell, it's flying apart a little bit. Me and Brother Jason was talking about some of the politics going on right now. And what they're trying to do, they're trying to have a government without God. You know, our money says, in God we trust. And they don't like it, and they want to take that off, and they want to remove that from the currency, and they didn't want Joe Biden to swear in on the Bible, and he's bought bait for it, but somehow or another he did it anyway, and he swore in on a big old Bible, big old family Bible. But anyway, they want to have their cake and their icing too, but listen, in Him we live and move and have our being. A young rising star that sang with Madonna, some of the big name singers. She climbed up on this place to get a better look at the moon, Rita. And they said she lost her footing. And I think at the age of 34 years old, she fell to her death.
Yeah.
Now, she probably committed suicide. I don't know. I'm not anything but just reporting what I read. But you know what? The best way to see the moon
It's through Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God.
That's right.
Best way to see everything, Phyllis, is through Jesus.
You got that right.
Now, I'm telling you what, everything looks better with Him, amen.
Sure.
But when they try to take Him out, Landon, it becomes, instead of beauty, it turns into a nightmare. Because, see, you can't have life without Jesus. You can't have a world without Jesus. Pilate's wife, the governor, come to him and she said, Rita, she said, have nothing to do with that just man. That's mission impossible. There's no way to have nothing to do with Jesus. Let me give an example. I just took a deep breath and he gave me. Can you imagine trying to take a deep breath and there's nothing to take?
Right.
Like, that's right.
And I'm like a fish out of water. I'm trying to get breath. That's happened to me before. That's happened to me before. And it ain't funny when you can't breathe. You're trying to get a breath, and there's no breath to get. But Acts chapter 17, I think it's verse 11, I think, but I do want to quote the right verse, so I'm going to turn there. But in Acts chapter 17, it might be verse 30, but it talks about, it's verse 28. I got on both ends of it. Acts chapter 17, verse 28, talking about Jesus. For in Him we live and move and have our being. You're just not going to get far without Jesus.
That's right.
And we're going to be preaching along those lines even today. But this world, they want to have a life that's kind of selfish. They don't want the Lord to have any part of their life. They want to be able to do what they want, the way they want to do it, and God not have a say in what they do. And they put forth great effort to that. That's why the Ten Commandments got taken out of school.
That's
why the Bible and prayer got taken out. And we've kind of raised up a generation that want nothing to do with Jesus. I tell you, it talks about their teeth are going to be like daggers. There's people that are literally afraid to come out after dark in the cities. Mm-hmm. A guy's walking his dog, Donnie. All he's doing is walking his dog, and a man comes up and puts a gun right up against him and his buddy behind him, and he got his billfold out and he didn't have no money. You know what they did, Mitchell?
He shot
him.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
You see? The Lord's kind of like what's missing, what's needed. You're just not going to get too far without Jesus. Now these 24 elders, they're worshiping Him. These beasts, they're worshiping Him. And if you got any sense about you at all, hey, you'll worship Him too. And you'll understand that every day you live is granted by a nail-scarred hand.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
A lot of people didn't get up this morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of people won't get up tomorrow.
Right.
You know what? I remember I had an uncle, and I hadn't been asleep very long, Rita. I didn't know very much at all. I did have a burden for my uncle. His name was Doyle Matthews. He was dying of cancer. Mm-hmm. And he married my aunt, Marty Matthews. He had a red and white 64 Chevrolet, 6-cylinder, 3-speed on the column, had a cigar sticking out about that long.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of looked up to him a little bit there. I still remember him starting that real shiny truck up. He kept it, there wasn't a spot on nowhere, Jason. He'd take off up that hill, and I kind of admired him. But when he come down with that cancer, and my wife told me, she said, Eddie, Doyle's got cancer. Well, I started praying for him and fasting for him, Carolyn. And I wouldn't let up. I mean, I did not let up. And I guess God had up to here with that. So I was out there one day mowing the yard out there. It seemed like God always speaks to me while he's mowing the yard. I'm out there mowing the yard, and the Lord said, won't you just drive over and see Doyle? So I said, sounds good to me. So I got off the lawnmower, I drove into town. He lived over on Walnut Street. Donnie knows where Walnut Street is.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled up there in his driveway. When I pulled in his driveway, his neighbor's sitting there talking to him. And I got out, and I wasn't trying to be polite. I just walked up right in the middle of the conversation, Phyllis. And I told my uncle, I said, Uncle Noel, I said, I've been praying for you. And I said, I really believe if you just bring your situation to the Lord, I believe He could help you. And his neighbor said, this young man's telling you right, Noel, that's what you need to do. And I didn't know his neighbor. But he said, he's giving you good advice, is what you need to do.
Amen.
But what he said to that neighbor to me, to this day haunts me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he said, Rita? He said, no. He said, they come out with a new pill.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm trusting in that new pill. Mm-hmm. I was his pallbearer within 2 weeks, Phyllis.
Mm-hmm.
That man wanted to live.
Yeah.
But you see,
right.
Even with a nail-scarred hand, right. He wouldn't take it.
Mm. Right.
The Lord offers something better than a pill.
Amen.
Listen, I don't know what kind of doctor prescribes you whatever. Look, you do whatever. I'm certain I throw no rocks here this morning. But at least give it a second thought. Pray about it.
That's right.
You know, I think it was Isaac's wife, Rebecca, does that sound right? She went and prayed, God, why am I thus? And God told her, Brother Ed, he said, there are two nations in your womb.
Right.
And he said, the elder is going to serve the younger. That's one reason she wanted Jacob to get that blessing. She had already been told that Esau was going to serve Jacob. You know how mothers are. She wanted to get that blessing on the one. God said that elder is going to serve that younger. She said, be it on me, my son, just do what I tell you. And he went in there and took that venison. Well, it wasn't venison. I think it was a lamb out of the flock. Took it in there and disguised it like venison. Had hair on his arms like Esau. And Jacob couldn't see real good. And he reached out there and he smelt of him. And he put a blessing on him. And he felt of him and put a blessing on him. And then he ate that food and put another blessing on him. By the son of Jacob went out the door. Here come Esau in there. Father, I got it. I got your venison here. And Isaac said, who art thou, my son? He said, it's Esau. And Jacob said, Isaac said, thy brother Jacob that done got you a blessing. The Bible talks about Esau missing the blessing. There's a lot of Esau's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
they're going to miss
right.
The blessing.
Yes,
because I'll tell you what, there's not going to be no life lived without Jesus. You're going to find out in the end you made a bad choice. You're going to find out in the end that there was a better way. And you wouldn't take it. You're going to find out in the end how much that Jesus loved you. You're going to find out in the end with tears in his eyes, he's going to have to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm glad he knows me. Amen. We'll stop right there. It's 5 minutes till. And you know, the great Creator died for his creation. And he's coming back. For those that belong to Him, I might as well read this last verse here real quick. I had one more verse wrote down about the great Creator. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He made the world. Jesus made everything that there was made.
Right.
And we're just trying to get that point across. And I thank the Lord for the Sunday school lesson this morning.
Yeah.
And you'd be much better off. Open up your heart to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's Star back there. I got her name right. I've been working on that, Star. Been working hard on that. Oh, Lordy. I pulled that thing out of there again, Lemon. I believe it wore it out. Oh, I got it. I think. Come back on.